Good afternoon, everybody. This is Brian Therrien today for the Disability Digest Disabled Housing Conference. We have a guest speaker with us here today, Aaron Lima. Aaron, thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
Great. Out in sunny California, sunny Southern California.
Yeah, it's beautiful out here today.
Yeah, quite a different contrast in our country. I just got in from a skate on a backyard rink with my son, so that's America for you.
I'm in shorts and a T-shirt right now.
yeah. So, but anyway, thanks for joining us today. We're excited to cover, a very, very needed topic of disabled housing. So the theme of what we're going to cover today for those that are listening live and those that will listen to this as a replay is how to find affordable housing in safe neighborhoods, and some of the strategies and principles that we go through and will apply and discuss with you today apply, you know, even if you've got terrible credit and less than a buck in your pocket. There are possibilities out there. And then, you know, the key thing that we want to talk about with you is how to really make your home an affordable sanctuary that, you know, one can adapt to instead of having to change their home. They can stay in their same home and make that work. So,
correct.
So let's get on to it. First thing I want to cover is, you know, kind of like the ABCs of disabled housing and what to do and what the resources are for our members that are out there. Now, before we get on and get into this too much, for those of you in the audience that are out there today, you are able to listen to all of the conversation that we have, and there is a chat box that is on the console, which is a piece of software that you're looking at on your computer, that you can type in any questions, and also at the end of the call, if we've got some time, I'll see if I can, we can open up to a few questions for you. So you'll have your chance to communicate with us, but for now, you're in the listen-only mode. First of all, let me just set the landscape, and maybe there's some that you can chime in here for disabled housing as well. It's as a national topic for people with disabilities and others with accessibility issues, the disabled housing issue is is clearly to me the biggest kingpin problem for people with disabilities. And what I've learned is that it's just a simple matter of inventory is low. There's not a lot of affordable disabled housing, and the demand is very, very high. So, and there's a long waiting list. But there is some hope. There's some creative things that we're going to go through, and people like Aaron that are working on different ways to put people in homes. So at the Disability Digest, for those listening that have signed up, you have a membership, we have a complete housing review and a strategy that has put people in homes, has allowed people that are in a certain home that want to move to a different area. It certainly has worked for them. And how to find that information is if you go into our members area, which you can just go back to our homepage, thedisabilitydigest.com, and scroll down, and you'll see the members area. It's on the right-hand side of the page. And that will bring you into an area where, down on the page you'll see the disabled housing review, which I'm going to put up on the screen right now for everybody that's listening and watching today. And I'm going to go through the abbreviated strategy for people that want to upgrade their home, find a home, or change their housing. Is come in and listen to this recording that's at the top of the page here. And then what the recording will do is it will guide you down through the different resources that are available. Now, there's two general resources for people to improve their housing situation. And one is to use HUD, which is the government agency that oversees the housing. And if the key thing here, when you go into the website and you read about it, is to understand HUD, their position in disabled housing, and contact the agency and get a housing counselor. But before you get one, go in prepared. Follow the information on the website. Have your plan of action. Understand what you want to do, what your budget is, what your debt is, what you can afford to pay. And if you bring that information in and get a housing counselor, they're going to act like a real estate agent for you. What they're going to do is they'll help you develop a plan of action. And, to preface all of this, I would just say, take your time, This is a process, and it's typically a long process. There's very few incidences where I've seen that a people have gone in a matter of months have gotten housing in this environment. But if you are polite and persistent and work with your housing counselor, you can, you know, find out if there's any possible way it can be done. That is one of the best ways to do it. Also, the second excellent resource is to get a housing counselor from your local Center for Independent Living. Centers for Independent Living are advocacy agencies for people with disabilities. They exist in, you know, just about every nook and cranny of the U.S. We even have one here, you know, not far from my home in Vermont. And they have people on staff that are housing counselors. So they don't actually provide housing like HUD, but they know where the housing is. And they may know of other resources that HUD does not have and provide you with additional information. So those are two key first steps that people can do to get started with housing. So anything, you know, Aaron, in your travels and experience that you could add to that, you know, that you found that would be beneficial for members?
Well, I think you said it all, you know, go in prepared. People always ask for help. I think you should go in letting them know how they could help you, you know, by bringing in estimates for repair, that those kind of things, and you know, just go from there and show them how they can help you, and most people will respond to that.
Great.
Everybody asks for money. Everybody. You're going in showing them how you're going to get help from them directly, not asking for money.
Well, no doubt, and I mean they're typically they're understaffed and overworked people, but the squeaky wheel gets the grease if you're just very polite and persistent. So that's good. So, listen, let's talk a little bit about your career and what you've done. It's you know, I was reading your story about how you kind of got into disabled housing. You're an able-bodied person, correct? You know, and you were working in the real estate industry, and you were approached by a couple that was wishing to purchase a home, not knowing anything about, you know, disabled or accessible housing, and you showed them some homes and written up an offer, and what happened next was what you call was the deal killer, right? Can you kind of fill in the audience on what your experience was and what happened from there?
Well, what happened was I took the able-bodied buyers out to purchase the home, and they determined that they really loved the home, and they wrote the offer. Well, when we got the counteroffer back, the seller was asking to have for us to locate a home that was wheelchair-accessible for their son, who was 6'2", 300 pounds, and in a wheelchair.
6'2", 300 pounds.
And in a wheelchair. Now, you can imagine he needs doorways that his home, he couldn't get around his home, period. And I thought I could do this, so I looked around, and I looked at the database provided by the realtors, and I couldn't find any home that stayed that was wheelchair accessible. I went throughout different little housing projects trying to find anything. There was the universal housing, but none of that seemed to work. There was a new home developer I approached, and they decided that they could do it on a single-story plan, but it was going to cost $35,000 extra on top of the house to do it and take quite a bit longer. So needless to say, the deal fell completely through, but what I thought was there has to be an easier way of producing homes for people with disabilities, and it has to be beneficial to both the builder and the purchaser, so it has to be cost-effective for the builder, and it has to be individualized for each buyer, because universal housing just didn't seem to fit the bill right then and there.
So I want to make sure that, you know, I understand and everybody understands the terminology universal housing. If I understand it correctly, a builder is just given an order pretty much to say you need an accessible house. And they go out and they build an accessible house that not knowing really what the accessibility needs are.
Correct.
Okay.
Correct. It's an outline designed to fit everybody's needs.
Okay.
And universal housing is what I call one-size-fits-all home, and it does not work.
Okay.
It does.
Yeah. And does that same does-not-work strategy apply in the commercial side when a commercial building is put in, or is that...
Commercial, commercial buildings are a little bit different because they're guided by the ADA laws.
Uh-huh.
Because they have to be accessible, you know, for clients and stuff to come in. You know, if you go into a Jack in the Box and you go into the stall and it's supposed to be universally, you know, usable, and you're left handed and every bit of equipment's on the right hand side and you can't mount the toilet from the left hand, what use is that toilet? You know, it's
kind
of disabling. So, you know, I looked at it that way when I was building homes. Universal housing at 6'2" like I am, my dad's 5'5", if you were to put us in the wheelchairs, we both have different reaching capabilities. So universal housing, there's no way they could design something that would fit him and myself.
Okay. So from there, what happened with the deal? Did you end up putting it together?
No, we didn't. And as far as I know, I drive by that home even to this day, and they still have the little hoist that hauls their son in and out of the pool.
Oh.
And I still see their van sitting out front, so they have not moved.
Hmm.
One of the things is you have several choices. You can live in the home that you have and live with its disabling features because you can't modify it due to the structure, or you can custom build, which costs a lot of money, or you can go out and try to find something that may meet your needs in the rental market or the aftermarket housing. All those are expensive options that really don't fit the bill.
Mm-hmm.
If you can get a home built by a home developer at the same cost as everybody else, at the same market value that fits your needs, everybody wins in the marketplace.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Interesting. So from there, did you come up and coin this phrase, simplified disabled housing?
Yes, I did. And individualized access housing? Yes, I did. I developed the whole system of docs and everything that you see on my website as a way to help new home developers build around people with disabilities. One of the things about the disabled housing market is it's the most diverse market you could ever market to. They have everybody in it and with every different need. And it's so overwhelming that some developers don't see how they can market effectively to everybody in the market using universal housing.
Mm-hmm.
They don't.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to put your website up in the room for people to see here, but walk us through the ABCs of what is simplified disabled housing? What did you come up with, and how are you addressing this challenge?
Well, simplified disabled housing is a cost-effective, easy-to-implement way of new home developers developing homes for people with accessibility needs. I came up with it because I looked from a business point of view and from the disabled point of view. I looked at the business and thought, well, what can we do to make it cost effective? So I developed a system of threes where everything is done in three heights, width, and depth.
Okay.
Which gives you tremendous flexibility in the building process. So it doesn't overcomplicate the building, and it doesn't make it so that it's just one size fits all.
So right now, pardon me, Aaron, but just so I understand, right now on the screen I have up a countertop. It's got a green dot, red dot, and a blue dot. Is that what you're referencing?
Correct. And if you have a model home and you're a home developer,
yep.
You put my system throughout the home and my system of placement cards. Now, what you do as a disabled buyer with accessibility needs is you tour the model home of the developer. You would reach out. You would reel up to the counter you're looking at the dot. You would reach your arm out and try to touch the backsplash in the back. Now, if you can't touch that, it's too far away, so you can't use any of the plugs that would be on that wall. So you would move the dot in as far as you would need to go. So let's say the end dot. Let's say you need 3 inches.
Mm-hmm.
You use the last dot, and you would reference that dot and say, "That's where I want that countertop to be. That's where I want the edge of the countertop to be."
Okay.
Now, the developer knows where the edge of the countertop needs to be.
Okay. Nice. Nice.
And it also works nice. When you wheel up in your chair, you look along and there'll be three dots on the side.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you wheel along and you can get under one dot but you can't get under another, you know you need to have it on the dot you can get under.
So what's the response from new home developers with this concept?
The new home developers like the idea that it doesn't overcomplicate the building process. They're interested in it because it would open them up to a new market, but they're having fears that the disabled housing market, there is no money available for disabled buyers. They don't have any money. That's what they're telling me. and that they have in the past tried to offer universal housing before, but was not any interest in it.
Mm-hmm.
And what I'm finding, and what I'm showing them to be the opposite, is that most people that call me with accessibility concerns that I've been getting calls from, actual calls, own their homes free and clear, or pretty close to free and clear, and are willing to sell that home and move into one that would fit them perfectly, like a glove. Now, when they say that they don't have any money, that's another problem with the accessibility of the disabled community, is the government lumps everybody into one pile and says that's the disabled community.
Mm-hmm.
You have to dig further to get into, okay, this is the wheelchair community, this is the people who have trouble bending. So when you look at the statistics, they are kind of bleak.
Right.
And then they offered universal housing. Well, I believe that everybody knows pretty much what a universal house would be, or that they say accessible housing, and you go look at it, like apartments. If you see an accessible apartment and you're in a wheelchair and you look at it and you're real small, it's not going to fit and it's not going to work. So I believe that the disabled community knows that universal housing is out there, but they haven't responded because, once again, it's a one-size-fits-all, and everybody wants to be treated like an individual.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, I concur that there certainly is a segment of, you know, the population that, you know, is really in a difficult situation financially. Most of those, in my opinion, are single. On the other hand, there are a lot of people that are disabled or impaired. I think disabled is too broad of a word, disabled in the word disability, because there's a lot of people with impairments that this would certainly be able to help as well that are in the audience that are still, you know, they're able to work and do some work, and they have a spouse that, you know, works, so they do have some income coming in. So interesting. What I'm interested about, or what are some of the key areas that this is applicable for? Like this example here is for countertops, and I'm certain you mentioned bathrooms, but what are some of the other areas that this strategy is applied for?
Well, toilet placement, believe it or not. If you have a bathroom that's big enough where you can have, where they can wheel up on the right or left-hand side, placement of the toilet is actually really, really important. Grab rails. If you build the bathroom correctly, you could actually place grab rails in an infinite space, and you can just place them everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
Different styles of what would be needed, like the height and the toilet, the style of the toilet. If you need a wheel-up sink or a non-wheel-up sink, just all sorts of different areas this can be applicable to. And, you know, like I said, with the threes, especially in the kitchen, three heights, three widths, three depths, then the countertops, the cupboards above the countertops, I mean, that's huge flexibility. You
sure.
You can pretty much design that kitchen you want it to be.
What about for renovations? Is it applicable?
Renovation? Absolutely, it's applicable. One of the things you can do is talk to your contractor and say, this is what I'd like to have done. And then you need to look at the home itself and find out if it can be done. Because there's a lot of homes where the bathroom door cannot be widened.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you look at it and go, okay, there's the vanity, or there's a closet, there's a hallway.
Mm-hmm.
Structurally, you can't modify that house without major expense.
Mm-hmm.
So, yes, you could apply quite a few of these to renovating a home, and that's what I intend to do.
So if somebody wanted to, I don't know if I'm jumping ahead here, but if somebody wanted to use your system, whether, let's use both examples. Let's say it was for a renovation project, and they wanted to come in and they wanted to have this. How would they go about doing that? Can they contact you for?
Absolutely. I get a lot of people that contact me wanting to know, you know, I have a bathroom and this is what I need to do. What I do is give them the information and help them, so that when they're speaking to the contractor, they can get the message across clearly. Because a lot of contractors haven't had experience dealing with putting in accessible options or you know, meeting accessibility. So I work with I give them the information to help work with a contractor. And then I know a lot of contractors in my area, and I tell them, hey, this is what we need to do. We need to take a yardstick, walk through the home, and determine if we can make this home accessible.
Okay.
Utilizing the yardstick. So I help people with that as well. I help them talk to you know, get their point across to contractors and everything. It makes it easier for them.
And can people learn the how-tos or how to communicate you know, this concept to a contractor from what's available on your site?
Yes, they can.
Okay. So good.
Yes,
so,
they can. Not every bit of it, but yes, they can. That's, you know, if I were to put it all on there, it's like drinking from a fire hose.
Okay.
I left strokes in there.
Yeah, yeah. And same strategy applies for new home construction?
New home's a lot easier, especially if they go to a developer, which is the best way to do it. I'm looking to license several new home developers here.
Okay.
They would already have the information available, and it would be just touring their home, filling off the check-off list, and handing it back to the developer. That's the absolute easiest way you can do it.
Okay. All right.
And it's the most effective.
So it's like a test drive before you buy concept, because you're going to be able to go through and actually experience.
Everything.
Yeah, yeah, brilliant.
And one of the things it does is it helps, the developers didn't want to be pigeonholed and have properties and say this is our accessible homes, and then have people who don't need accessibility not visit the homes or be stuck with a bunch of accessible homes.
Mm.
So the system is designed to be utilized by everybody. Like I said, my dad's 5'5". Since I was a little kid, I've been reaching up and grabbing stuff out of the cupboard for him. If you can go to a developer and have his cupboards lowered in the home, it would be much easier for him.
Okay.
A lot of things can be utilized by everybody, which is another appealing thing for new home developers.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, without mentioning any specific figures, you know, as we've talked about price and things being cost conscious, how can you address the pricing on this, or from implementation or design or your component of it? Can you speak to that for us?
Exactly what I looked at. Let's say I go out to purchase a home as an able-bodied individual.
Yep.
I spent $200,000 on that home from a new home developer. Now, I purchased that home at $200,000. If someone with disabilities was to go and purchase the exact same home for $200,000 from a developer who's not utilized my system, they may have to spend $10,000, $20,000, or $30,000 above my price to get the home accessible. If they go to a developer who utilizes my system, I pay $200,000, they pay $200,000.
I see.
The options are built to the price of the home already. So it gives them the same market price for the home.
So that's interesting. So is this because you have certain builders that are locked in and familiar with how to implement your strategy?
That, and also every option I have can be utilized by everybody. So they can offer it to everyone.
Mm.
The cost is spread amongst every buyer. So every home is the basic nuts and bolts for what needs to be done.
So
it's just adding the customized features that you need.
So certainly for a new home application, you can save people money.
Absolutely. Tens of thousands of dollars.
Interesting. And what about for a remodel?
Remodel's a little more expensive because you need to look at what you're getting into first. And usually a good structural engineer can come and take a look because if you're widening doorways, which is the major concern, or remodeling bathrooms and pushing out walls, you need to look for bearing walls, those kind of things. So it's a little more expensive to do it that way. And it's actually a little more time-consuming because if you were to go purchase a home from a new home developer, you just wait the time until it's done, 6-7 months, it's done. If
mm-hmm.
you go ahead and do a remodel, depending on the size of the house, you may have to move out for a while, wait, come back, and it's just a bigger hassle. But it can be applied to remodeling. It's just a little more expensive.
Okay, okay. So if somebody's willing to pay a little bit more and really wants to stay in their place, then this is good. This is a possible way to go. Okay.
Absolutely, and it only costs a little more because, like I said, the load-bearing walls and expanding things. What I believe and what I've looked at is the house provides the disabling features. You know, when you look at it and you go, oh, wow, I can't get through that door, it's because the door's wrong, not because of you.
Oh, yeah, I mean, certainly. I've been through it with our family, a raised ranch, and somebody becomes disabled, and you got to put a ramp on the front and change some of the doorways and... You know, things are pretty much one level out there in California, right? You can go in. But here in the Northeast, there's a lot of ranch concepts where you actually kind of enter on the second level through stairs.
Right,
so,
right.
Yeah.
Well, if you design the stairs properly, you use the right lift, so you actually have, there's actually small elevator companies out there that design things. You can work in a multi-level house very efficiently. That's another thing I outline in the system. It's not on the site, but you know, I have it outlined in the system how they can apply these things to the home, to build multi-level homes.
Good. So let's recap some of the top benefits. From what I understand is that this really allows somebody to customize the placements for everything. So you're really going to have everything set in your house so that it's going to be comfortable for you. Right?
Your needs.
Your needs. Customize the house to your needs. Instead of the universal concept where they're guessing what they think you need, and typically they're not right. So, and
right.
Cost effective for somebody buying a new home, you can save them a bunch of money.
Absolutely, and we can also save the developer money.
Okay.
So it's cost effective on both ends.
Yep. So this goes back to what we mentioned at the top of the call, that it kind of can, you know, create an affordable sanctuary for somebody that's got some limitations or that is disabled. Very cool. Did we miss anything?
No, that covers it all. I mean, I could talk for hours on it, but that's a good stroke there.
Yeah. Well, you've got a beautiful website here that we'll direct people to at the end as well. And also wanted to spend a moment, and I know you've got some other tricks up your sleeve that I wanted to see if you could spend a few minutes with us and share with people. Primarily, what I would like to learn and have you share with so many people out there that are stuck that would value the information is, you know, some simple tips that they could do if, you know, they're in a home and they're stuck. Now, here's the first example that we see. We have a lot of people, their incomes go down. They've been put on disability, and they're likely, they just can't afford their payments anymore. It's kind of like the whole mortgage crisis going on in the U.S., but it's been happening for disabled for years. And they'd like to keep their home. They need to live somewhere, but they can't afford the payments anymore because they've lost their income. What do you have any strategies to that audience?
Well, yeah, actually, right now I'm looking at putting together a buy and lease back program, wherein if you own your home, you wish to stay in that home, but you can't afford that home, or that home is keeping you from actually qualifying for certain programs because you own an asset. One of the things we'd like to do is meet with you and find out about purchasing that home, rehabbing it to your needs, and then renting it back or leasing it back to you. That way you can stay in that home.
Interesting. So
one of the...
Okay.
Go ahead.
That would help a lot of people. Yeah.
Well, one of the reasons we came up with this is a woman had called me. And she had two jobs. She worked as a greeter at Walmart and at a drugstore in another one just to take care of her husband who lives in the home with her who has multiple sclerosis.
Mm-hmm.
Now, she was $100 a month over qualifying for the multiple sclerosis, and she couldn't qualify for the other programs because they actually own their home, and they owned it free and clear. And they needed to modify the home, and it was going to cost $4,000. So she went to Home Depot, got the estimates, got the contractor out there. He wrote up everything nice, just saying it's $4,000. She went to apply for loans. Bank turned her down. She went to apply for grant for housing or assistance in getting it rehabbed to the county and the city and the state and stuff. They turned her down. One of the things that I was saying was, well, maybe we'll purchase your home at whatever the market value is, less the rehab cost, and then rent it back to you, and you know that the house now is built to your needs because you have gotten the estimate to do the work. And then you can stay in that home, and what it would effectively do is lower her monthly payments total by about $250.
Nice. So somebody could stay in their home, get it renovated, lower their payment, and accomplish what they want. The key is they've got to have some equity. They've got to own that home, though, right?
Correct.
Okay. All right.
And they need to own a home, and they need to have some equity. But we also need to be able to help them out with their bills. I mean, if we can't lower their bills and get the situation straightened out, And the best bet may be, you know, we'll talk to him and say maybe you just need to sell a house and move into maybe an independent living center or an apartment.
Mm-hmm.
There was a case we had that happen as well.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we look at all the aspects for them.
Okay.
And give them an overview of what they need to do.
Okay. Well, what about an instance where somebody's in a home and they become disabled and, you know, it doesn't make sense for them to go through and renovate their home? But they want to build new. So that would be clearly an application where you could, they could use, you know, this the simplified disabled housing strategies that you've mentioned. They could contact you and perhaps you could point them in the right direction.
Correct. They could contact me and find out the developers we're working with in their area.
Mm-hmm.
We're not everywhere, so I want to let people know that if they like what they see, they need to contact developers and say, hey, maybe you should, you know, talk to this gentleman, and we would purchase a home if you were using that. I would greatly appreciate that as well. You know,
sure.
We're not everywhere yet, but we're working on it.
Well, you know, it's just, there's a lot of that needs to be done in this industry. Together we can all make a difference, so I'm sure you'll get some folks to help you out. Okay, what about other strategies to help people save their home that are pressed? Let's say you can't help them, or are there other steps that they should take before they contact you to see if they can help them? Are there any local resources or regional that you could think of?
Absolutely. Most people are amazed when you call and they say, you know, I need help rehabbing my home, and I direct them to the local housing redevelopment agency, or it could be called the housing authority in their area.
Is that HUD?
No, there's actually the housing authorities for the city, state, the county. So you need to look for the city housing authority, the state, or the county housing authority, or it's called a redevelopment agency as well. It can go under either name. And in California, in Riverside, where I'm at, the housing redevelopment agency actually has a $10,000 forgivable loan for people with disabilities if they live in their house for 15 years. If they live in it for 7, they pay back 5. And it's to rehab the house for people with disabilities and make it accessible. So there are areas that they need to look at. And most people call me back and say, wow, that was kind of interesting. I talked to them, and they do have some monies available. Not a lot, but enough. And those are the two resources. You should never forget about your city, your state, and your county, because they want to help. They want to make your life better. And they usually have money, and nobody's been asking for it.
So
they have money.
This is interesting. I want to get the Riverside deal. So, in Riverside, I used to live there, actually, one of my many stops on the tour. And so, if somebody is disabled, they can go to the city and they can likely apply for this. And it's $10,000, and the criteria would be they need to use it for their housing expense, renovating, or buying down their debt, or.
No, it's strictly through the housing redevelopment agency, not the city or the, you know, it's through the housing redevelopment agency.
Yep.
And it's a corporation that was set up to, you know, help with removing urban blight and a bunch of other stuff. And one of the things they did was they helped senior citizens fix their homes, and then they realized, wow, we can help people with disabilities make their homes more accessible. So that was their next step was, hey, if you're living in your home and you need your bathroom, you know, to be safer, go ahead and apply, and we will furnish you with the money to make your home more accessible.
Okay.
And there's a lot of agencies. I do a lot of people call me and they contact me through my website saying, hey, this is where I live. And amazingly enough, I just get on the internet.
Mm-hmm.
I type in their city and I look for redevelopment agency or housing authority, and then I look through their pages on there for any information that would say housing granted by HUD or grant awarded to state. Like in Texas, there was a huge $20 million grant given by Housing and Urban Development to help people with disabilities. And that was in 2005. And, you know, it's still, the money's still available. It's going through 2010. So they just need to get on the computers and look through the housing authorities and redevelopment agencies in their community.
Great. Housing Authority and Redevelopment Agency. Okay. Awesome.
Good sources.
Okay, good.
Also, your banks. Banks, people don't even think about going to the banks and saying, hey, do you have any programs for people with disabilities? I had talked to a banker from Comerica Bank, And he told me that banks are required to do loans in low-income areas for urban blight or those kind of things, and they also have programs for people with disabilities.
They do.
You need to call your bank.
Yeah. Actually, we've had members that have expressed success by going to HUD, and HUD will work with them to negotiate with the bank.
Correct.
Yeah.
Correct.
Yeah.
And you can go right through the bank directly, too, because sometimes they have a program available.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Great information. Okay. Any other tips?
Just keep working and be prepared, and always be in the mindset of how they can help you.
Okay.
Don't ask for money.
Okay.
Make it a quality of life, health and safety issue, and people are more apt to help you.
Health and safety issue. Very nice. Okay. Well, good. Well, this has been great. What I would like to do is see if there's any questions from the audience here, if you don't mind spending a few more minutes with us.
Absolutely.
And while I'm going to just put a message out to the audience here and give them the how-to, I'll go through a few other resources that we have. So for those of you that are in the audience out there and have questions, what you can do now is on the console there's a raise your hand feature. It's just like those days when you were in class. And what you can do is raise your hand, and then I will select you folks individually and give you notification, and then you'll be able to speak to us, and we would be glad to take your question and do what we can to help you out. So while we're doing that, one of the things I wanted to mention to I see some hands coming up here. So I wanted to mention to those in the audience are some resources that we have. At the top of the call, I mentioned the in the members area, there's a housing review. The other thing, for those that are listening to the replay of this and anybody that's on the call today will get it, is that we have in our community, we have started a housing group. And the group really, let me first of all explain the community. The community is like MySpace or Facebook, but it's specifically for our members. You can go in, sign up, put up a profile. You can communicate with others in different groups based on what your needs are. And it's a free, easy place to lend a helping hand or get a helping hand. And there's a housing group in there. It's just open, and there's 22 different people that have already signed up on it. But you can exchange ideas and get tips and learn from others. And, you know, this is one of these very complicated processes where we're going to have to learn how to, you know, solve some of our own problems and find out, you know, how we can help others. So have a look at the community as well. So, all right. Just give me one moment, folks, and I'm going to scan through some of these, some of the audience here that has questions. Okay. Got a lot of hands up. All right. What I'm going to do is I am going to, let's see what this does. For those of you that have raised your hands, I'm going to call your name, and then I'm going to give you the ability to speak. So first up is Dorothy Rodriguez. Dorothy, if you are logged into the room and you have your hand up, you will hear a prompt that will allow you to speak to Aaron and I. Can you hear us, Dorothy?
Yes.
How are you today?
I'm fine.
Well, that's great. Thanks for joining us. How can we help you? What's your housing question for us?
I have Section 8. It's called Modern Rehab. I guess I'm trying to get, like, better housing. I have it's a one-bedroom, and I have a baby. And it's taken a while to it's my first time in Section 8, so I really don't know how it works. I'm trying to get a bigger place for me and my child.
Mm-hmm. What steps have you taken?
I went to the office. I did the form, but they say it takes 60 to 90 days. And so far, it's been a month already, and I'm still waiting.
Mm-hmm. So when
I get SSI.
Okay. So you're on SSI, you're on Section 8, you're looking for new housing, and you say you've completed forms. Where have you completed forms? What agency?
My case manager can tell you more. He just told me to come to this office, and they gave us the form that my doctor had to fill out to get me closer because I'm far away from my doctor and everybody.
Okay.
And that's to get me housing near my doctor and stuff.
So is your question like how to speed it up or what other options are there?
Yeah, other options because Miami, I don't know what's going on with our office here. It got raided by it's taken over by HUD. Then it got raided because they were skimming money, and I really don't know what's going on with our housing here.
Here's my suggestion, and I'll see if Aaron has some more. The first, without knowing what agency that you've gone to, it's difficult to direct you from here, but I would go back from the top of the call that we had today, is I would pursue a housing counselor from HUD and also from the Centers for Independent Living, and I'll put that site back up in the room here, so that you can have a look at it. But go into the members area, which you can get to from our homepage, thedisabilitydigest.com. Then click on the members area and go down into the housing section and follow those. It's likely if you have done and are on Section 8 that you have done part of this process before. I would expect that if you're not familiar with the Center for Independent Living, that you likely have not been there, and that would be another great resource for you to pursue. And they might have access to other ideas for housing for you and some things that may have been overlooked. So, Aaron, anything to add to that?
That would be the best things to do. And then what I would do is look for houses close to your doctor that fit your needs for rent. Find out who owns the house and ask them if they would be willing to go Section 8 on that house. So try to look at it backwards. Say, I have all the paperwork through Section 8. I like your little home. Would you be willing to rent it to me if I had Section 8?
Cool.
Find somewhere close to your doctor.
Yeah, but the housing you're talking about getting is, I need a voucher, and I don't have a voucher.
You're waiting for your voucher.
It's going to be a long time. They own 500 and I'm 30,000 and something, so I'm not, probably won't be here till they get to my number. How I got about getting this apartment I have now, it was they sent me a letter telling me to come check out this apartment, and then I had to wait for the Section 8 apartment to do the paperwork to get this apartment. It's not that I have a voucher to get the other apartment that the gentleman's talking about.
Okay. You know, some other creative and Aaron, that's a brilliant idea, by the way, but what you're saying, Dorothy, is that you expect it to be quite some time before you actually get your Section 8 voucher, right?
Yeah.
Okay. I was of the understanding that you were on Section 8. That's what I understood. So some other ideas that I would that other members have done is, and I don't know what your disability, what limitations it puts on you, but these are just ideas, is they have looked at doing home sharing. So what some members have done is there's a lot of people that have homes that have rooms in them, that have a lot of space in them, for that matter. And there are members of our site that have gone out, and they've been able to say, well, listen, you know what, if I could stay in your house, I could in turn do some stuff for you, like maybe put out your medicine or, you know, help you do an odd errand here and there while I go to the grocery store. And that has enabled people to get into housing. Craigslist has been a good resource for people to find places like that. It's like a co-housing thing. It's been pretty popular here in Vermont, actually. So that's another idea. And I join the community that I mentioned and get ideas from others. It sounds like while you're in the wait, you're going to need to really go through all your options. Okay?
Okay.
All right. Thanks for joining us today.
Thank you.
All right. Bye.
Okay, let's see who else we have for questions here. All right. I have just given Bruce Ransberger the ability to speak. Bruce, you should hear a prompt here in a moment that will give you the indication that you can communicate to us. So, are you out there? All right. We'll leave you on. If you are, if you hear us, you can speak. Let's try another one. Okay. Jennifer Prince.
Hi, how are you?
Well, last I checked, I was doing really good. Thanks for asking. How are you?
I'm doing pretty good.
Good.
Well, I'm 29. I've never been out of the house on my own, and I'm trying to avoid all the problems that Dorothy is saying she's having, because here in Wichita Falls, that's about all they have is Section 8 or houses in the projects for people with disabilities, and I just don't really like that idea. So I was thinking, what are my chances of actually owning my own home so I can just buy and then live in it and get it modified so I can get around and things like that without having to go through Section 8 housing, like I said, all the problems that Dorothy's having right now, because down here that's just not a good idea.
So
too much paperwork. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, so your real question is, what are the chances of me owning my own home? Are you disabled on Social Security disability?
Yes, I have cerebral palsy. I've had cerebral palsy since I was born.
Okay. All right. Well, you know, we have some limited information, but Aaron, you want to take a shot at this one?
Where are you located?
Wichita Falls, Texas.
Texas? Oh, Texas has great programs for people with disabilities. Let me see if I can find the information that I had. Give me one second.
Okay.
I'm going to try and find that. There's a Rural Development Agency. Ah, that's what it is. It's the Texas Rural Development Agency. Did you write that down? They have programs for people to develop their houses in rural areas so you get out of the bad ones. Another thing I would check is Habitat for Humanity.
Yep.
If you want to own your own home. Now, you have to put some money in, right?
You have to have some income, though.
You have some loans to pay off, still.
Oh, you have some loans to pay off.
That's my other problem. I have student loans that I need to pay off. So.
Well, here's another thing. If you have student loans and you're disabled, most people don't know this, but you can likely get those forgiven. And we haven't put out any information publicly about this, but I do know members that have done it. So what I would suggest that you do on that is email support at the Disability Digest and request the information, and we will send it to you. So you can see.
Go to your homepage?
Just email support@thedisabilitydigest.com or reply to one of the emails that was sent to you from the Disability Digest and put in the subject line, you know, student forgiving student loans and request that information.
Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Good. Anything else, Aaron?
No, they pretty much covered it. I wasn't aware she didn't have any income coming in.
Mm.
Well, I'm on disability, but I'm saying as far as, you know, owning my own home, I don't know how much, owing so much in student loans would affect my chances of either getting a grant, and I'm really not sure I'd qualify for a loan because I've already got student loans that I still need to pay back. That's my thing. You know, I'm on a fixed income and I have student loans.
Texas is actually one of the best areas that I found that has information for people with disabilities for housing. And they've built thousands of homes for people with disabilities. Last I looked, it was close to 8,000 homes were built in Texas in the past couple of years for people with disabilities.
Wow.
So you live in a really good state for that.
Wow.
Huh, well, I really don't know where to look then because I'm just like, wow.
Go to texas.gov
mm-hmm.
and look, and there should be the Texas Rural Development Project. And they're the ones who got funded in 2005 for HUD for millions of dollars to redevelopment and for people with disabilities to purchase or rehab homes or to help them with their housing. So I would go to Texas.gov and look for the resource.
Okay.
And if you can't find it, the replay of this call will be out in about a week, and we'll grab that for you.
Okay.
Okay. Good luck. Happy house hunting. Keep us posted.
All right.
Okay.
I'd like to know how it goes. It helps me help other people as well.
All right. Good. Okay, you bet. All right. Some good questions here. All right. Let's see who else we have. We'll take a couple more. Okay. Gloria McDuffie, I've just given you the ability to speak. You should hear a prompt from us momentarily. Are you out there? Can you hear us, Gloria? No. Try one more here. Okay, James Channel.
It's Channel.
Channel. I knew I was taking a risk when I said that. How are you, James?
Okay. I'm doing better today.
Good. Thanks for joining us. How can we help you?
Well, the last two questions kind of prompted me. I wasn't going to raise my hand, but especially since Aaron is in Riverside, I was in Imperial County, California, but was forced to move to San Diego due to I have a cardio issue, and I was also forced to go on disability. This has all happened in the last 3 months, and you know, we went from an infant son. We went from a 3-bedroom home there that we were renting to a very small 1-bedroom apartment that is literally for my walker, and I'm beginning now to have to use a mobility card. I'm having a difficult time to get around. I really know of no resources in San Diego at all. I didn't know, since Aaron was so close, he might know of some things down here.
Well, actually, you can contact me through my website, simplifieddisabledhousing.com. On the Contact Us page, give me the information, you know, fill out the information in the comment forms, put that we spoke during this webinar, and go ahead and give me a brief description of what it is, and what I will do is I will look through the resources that I have, give you the information and get it back to you by Monday. I'll send you an email back with what I have available. Because I do have a pretty good list of resources for California. I just don't have I couldn't pull it off the top of my head. But if you do that, I'll do that for you.
Okay. It seems like I was moved automatically to the top of the rehabilitation program for the state. Of course, my mind is still great. I was in manufacturing management for over 20 years. It's just physically I can't do some of the things that I was able to do before. And yet, even though I get moved to the top of it seems like it just takes forever, you know, and I guess it really doesn't, but when your income's dropped as low as mine has, it does feel like forever.
James, I'm sorry, Aaron. I was just wondering, are you, you're 3 months out of work, is that correct?
No, I'm over a year out of work, but
okay.
I was on state disability.
Okay, all right.
At first, and then the good and bad news is I was accepted to Social Security on the first time around. The bad news is that means you're usually pretty, you know, that your disability is pretty bad to be able to be accepted right away. So, this is all new. And I mean, even with the state disability, that didn't affect me that much because the state disability in California was about a little over 55 to 60% of my gross, which was, you know, by the time you took all the taxes out, really wasn't that big of a difference that I really saw. But once that dropped off and I went on SSDI, it's literally dropped about 75%.
Yeah. So, well, it's tough.
You know,
I keep cutting you off here, and I'm sorry, but I would just say, James, you know, I'd follow the process and all the different nooks and crannies of information that we have, and hopefully we can, you know, do what we can to help you maximize your benefits and squeak every...
Right. I'm really hoping I'm going to actually watch the one that you actually did on starting a home business, something along that line.
Sure. Yeah, with Andy Leaf, another good Californian.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, Aaron, I cut you off again.
I was going to say, sometimes you just have to grin, bear it, and wait. I mean, you know, it's giant bureaucracies you're dealing with, and they don't realize it's people. You're a number, not a person, so just, you know, don't take it personal.
Okay, I'll drop you that email, Aaron. I appreciate both of
Great.
You. Thank you. Very
okay,
much.
You're welcome.
Look forward to hearing from you.
Okay. All right. Let's see. There's one other here. We'll see if we have one other question that we can take in the time. So, Lynette, I have just given you the ability to speak, Lynette, so if you can hear us, we'd love to hear from you.
Hello, Brian. It's nice to finally hear your voice.
Well, thanks for joining us.
I was just wondering, right now we are having some severe financial problems. My husband's been out of work almost 3 months, and I'm receiving workman's comp, but as you know, workman's comp doesn't pay all your bills. The house that I'm in has severe problems. How would you start the process of finding suitable housing?
Aaron?
I'm in Oklahoma.
You're in Oklahoma.
Okay.
Yes.
That you own that's having problems, or it's a rental home? Or
It's a rental home, but they do not fix things. Our heating bills are extremely high. Because there's no insulation in our house, but right now this is what we can afford.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, we're behind on our rent, so I'm thankful that they haven't evicted us. But I would really love to find a house that I don't have to worry about my utilities because they're so high. Because it's not suitable housing; they do not fix things. And I can't really push the issue because we're behind in our rent, like I said.
Right.
And I'd just like to get a decent house that I don't have to worry about the electrical. You know, there's no insulation. We have to put plastics on the windows. And we've been here for like 4 years, and we've outgrown this house. But I just want to get a house that I can feel comfortable, that I don't have to do all this extra, because right now I really am not capable of doing it.
Are you on housing or?
No.
Are you on housing? No, you're not. You're doing it on your own. Did you need to apply
yes.
for the house?
No, I do not know where to start.
Well,
as
you can start
on applying for housing and things of that sort.
Okay, you can start by going and getting a caseworker and talking to the independent living centers and stuff as well. Brian had mentioned at the top of the thing, that's the first place you need to start is doing
yeah.
that.
You know, one thing that exists in a lot of different communities is, and this is where the Centers for Independent Living can really step in, is like they work with Catholic Charities. It's CatholicCharities.org, which provides a rental relief depending on a situation. So I would as Aaron said, I would go back and I would go right to the Centers for Independent Living first, explain your situation and where you're at, and sit down with them and find out what you can do, first of all, for rental relief, and see if you can get some type of relief for your situation to get a short-term fix. And maybe if you can get your rent caught up, you can put a little pressure on the current situation until you, you know, find another solution. So that would be the... Pardon me?
Also going through the, like I said, the redevelopment agencies and the housing authorities, they have programs available, once again, like in even for renters. Now, the tenant qualifies to get the home fixed. So if there's energy efficiency or, as far as accessibility concerns, you would apply for the rental, for the grant or the loan through the city, and they would do it based on the fact that your income and that you're a renter.
Mm-hmm.
You can go to the agencies and say, hey, I need money from you to fix up this rehab property. And I don't know any homeowner that would say, no, you can't fix my home up, especially if they don't have to pay for it.
Yeah.
So,
right.
Yeah, that would be another way of going through it is to go into the housing authority and saying, look, this house has these problems. I need to get around it properly, or I need accessibility. Here's what I need to do. Can I get some money from you to fix up the rental? And there may be monies available to do that as well to those agencies.
Hey, great.
One other idea, Lynette, is if you have a short-term need, like you're on workman's comp, right?
Yes.
Do you have in the foreseeable future? Do you see that you'll be able to go back to work?
No.
Okay.
I'm in the process. I filed for a disability twice. I have been turned down, but through your digest, I have been contacted, and I'm in the process of retaining an attorney to try to get my disability.
All right. Well, one of the other things that I would suggest, which has got a high probability of success if you can find the right application, is applying for a modest need grant. Now, modest need grant, and Aaron, I don't know if you're familiar with this. This guy's done a great job. His name is Keith Taylor. if you're looking at the screen, it's in Section 5 of the members area, and there's an interview with him. But what he has done is he's put together a program that you can apply, and if you're approved, you get your money in 14 days. Now, modest needs is for short-term, a short-term need, like, you know, if you're behind on your rent, you're going to get evicted, but you've got money coming in, something that will tide you over so that you won't spiral into debt. And that's their whole modus operandi. But if you apply, 50% of the people that apply for these grants are getting approved in 14 days or less. But the grants are like under $1,200. So, like, we've had members of our site. One had a child that needed special medication. She was disabled. She had three children, needed special medication, and she got a modest need grant. We had somebody else that got it for mobility equipment, and somebody else had a winterization issue. So these are highly probable short-term, you know, small chunks of money. And for those that are listening, that, you know, if you're looking for a grant, great. If you could possibly afford to support Keith Taylor's effort, this is my commercial for the day. Even if it's only $5 a month, what he's doing is fantastic, well needed. You know, you can give back as well. So you can find that, Lynette, in the members area as well.
Yes, I have been checking that out. Thank
Good.
You.
Good.
You've been a great inspiration and a great help.
Well, I thank you for that. I thank you for that and becoming a member. So we look forward to your success story when you get your new home or get your current one fixed.
I'm looking forward to it, too.
Okay, great. Thanks for joining.
Thank you.
All right.
Yes.
Okay. Well, I know we're at the top of the hour, and I appreciate you spending the time that you have. So let's just go through and we'll do a wrap-up here. How's that sound before we close things down for the day, Aaron?
Excellent.
Okay. So let's go through this. First of all, let's go through the simplified disabled housing, some of the key benefits that we talked about. You know, whether you're, especially if you're going to be looking at a new home, it's a very cost-effective way to have the accessibility accommodations just spot on, tailor fit your needs. Place the components around the house based on your needs, not based on some type of generic concept of universal accommodations. So that's key.
Universal housing, it just doesn't work. The thought's there, and it's a beautiful idea, but it just doesn't work.
Okay. Yeah, I can see why. I mean, so and the concept does work for remodeling your home, but the financially it's less likely that you're going to save any money. Whereas if you're getting into a new home, you can actually save people tens of thousands of dollars by using this concept and a builder that knows how to implement it. Right.
That is correct. They could buy it at the fair market value instead of having to modify it out of pocket later.
Beautiful.
We get the same deal everybody else gets.
Beautiful. Great. Okay. So those are key tips, and for anybody that is, stuck and moving around their housing, we'll put a questionnaire at the bottom, and you can complete the questionnaire and see if there's some help that you can provide for them. The other great resources that you had talked about was for people to look at their city, state, and local level, town level, for the Redevelopment Authority and the Housing Authority.
The Redevelopment Agency or the Housing Authority, correct.
Redevelopment Agency or Housing Authority. Okay, super. Good.
So there's city, county, and state government websites can have information that link you to housing and other aspects like that, rental assistance, all sorts of stuff.
Okay, good. Anything else? Did we miss anything?
Oh, we covered it all.
Great.
Well, as much as we can in an hour.
Yes, exactly. We packed in a lot. So, good. And for members that are listening out there, just to recap where you can find everything, this interview will be circulated around again, and you can scroll down to the bottom of the replay page and find all the resources that we mentioned here today, the Disability Digest resources and Aaron's resources. And we host these conferences once a month. They're typically the first Wednesday of every month, so mark your calendar. We have other great guest speakers like Aaron that join us, so we welcome you back. So, and last in closing, as members, I want to thank you for supporting the Disability Digest and coming out and listening to us today. And most importantly, Aaron, thank you for this wealth of housing information that you've provided. Brilliant stuff. I really appreciate it.
Thank you, and I hope it helps some people out there listening.
Well, that's what it's all about. So I appreciate it once again. Thanks, everybody, and have a great day.